Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks like it did. Let's see if it, I don't see it. Well, I may not be able to get it done today. Okay, there, Beanie. Sorry. For some reason, it didn't upload right. Okay. Okay. So. Wow. Okay. Well. Anyway. Let's start out with a prayer. Amen. Lord our God, we want to find our joy in you and all of your promises to us, Lord. For you have promised that during all the pain and sorrow, Lord, you are preparing what pleases you and serves your honor in every heart, Lord. May we experience in our lives the fulfillment of many of our promises so that again and again we can go forward joyfully rising above difficult times and situations. Have mercy on us and protect us in your strength, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay. All righty. Well, okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, we're gonna play some music here. Okay. All right. I'm just gonna check it one more time and see. Okay. To see if. I'll be taking calls tonight. Yes. No, it didn't upload. Well, I don't know what to do. Okay, well, okay. Yep, it didn't upload there. Sorry there, Beanie. Okay. Well, anyway. Okay, let's play some music.
Broken heart. thing. That might bear a good person.
That makes me a human being.
But the question you should be asking.
What would you call me if I told a lie?
Am I good enough?
A human being.
Right.
Well, I mean, you a liar. You like to be right. That's in your blood.
Am I a good person? Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, I don't go around just hurting other people. I pay my taxes, I got a job, I believe in God. So it's not like I'm out there smoking rock and shooting cops. Look, I even used to go to church when I was young. So yeah, I'm pretty sure when I die, I go to heaven. I'm an average guy, I mean, I ain't no saint. But I think compared to many people, I say I'm an 8 out of 10. So yeah, I think my friends would say I try to do my best. What you ask, is this some sort of test? Is this some sort of survey or what? Look, I got stuff to do today. Can we hurry this up? Am I a sinner? Have I been forgiven? Man, that's deep. I don't know. I'm just living. Listen, what's the point? I'm a busy man. Maybe when I get old and gray, you can ask me questions again. Yeah, yeah, I get it. You never know when it's your time, right? I might die tonight and not make it to the white light. I've heard it all before, but, you know, I'm still young. I don't want to think about all that stuff. I just want to have fun.
That makes me a thief. That makes me a sinner. That makes me a human being. I can't take that back.
Well,
and I changed my life.
God's commandments? Yeah, I think there's 10. I know a few, but I don't remember all of them. Do I think I go to heaven if that's the standard I was judged? Did God really let me pass if he was just? Huh. Wow, those are some really tough questions. I guess a good judge would actually have to punish my actions. Yes, I'm lying, so I guess that makes me a liar. I'm being honest now, and I'm not in denial. I'm a stolen. I guess when I was young. What's that make me? Look, I'm just human. Who hasn't stolen something little here and there? Okay, now I'm a thief? Okay, that's not even fair. Have I looked at a woman with lust? Yes, I mean, haven't all of us? Jesus said what? The best is adultery. Well then, yeah, I guess I'm guilty. Have I taken God's name in vain? Yeah, in anger, and for that I am ashamed. Yes, I'm hated, but some people get what they deserve. What? That's as if I was a murderer.
And you know what, God, this is a little bit of God. You know what, God, you want to make the right job.
Right, Jack, but my only
So what you're saying is that by my own admission, I'm a murdering, lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And because I've sinned, I've been separated from God and condemned. Man, that rings so true. It's like I knew it. But what can I do? I've been so stupid. Do I need to, like, see a priest to seek forgiveness? Please, I'll go to church. I'll even go on Wednesdays. Look, I'm willing to do anything God asks. What? My worst of a filthy rag? There's nothing I must do except for where I'm at, and then it'll change me after the fact? I don't deserve that. That doesn't make sense. I've been too bad. I should face punishment. You say it's all by grace? My sin can be erased? All I must do is repent because he took my place? He faced the judgment of justice that he fulfilled, and at the same time made a way to be revealed? I get it now. How could I be so blind? None of us are good enough, and that's why Jesus died.
Many live their lives, barely giving God punishment at all. The Ten Commandments are God's measure of what right living is. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness.
There was a teacher in the region then, some of us had heard. He'd heal the paralytic by the power of just his word. So with hope again rekindled, I went at once to see if I could find a man named Jesus from a town in Galilee. I began to search the city, and soon I saw the crowd. They were pressing in to touch him, and they called his name out loud. But with the strength of desperation, I pushed them all aside. I threw myself before him, and from my knees I cried, Lord, come and heal my daughter. Even now she's close to death. Her fever is uncontrollable, and she fights for every breath. But God's given you the power. Life is yours to give. If you will just lay your hands on her, I know that she will live.
Thank you.
hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Now let's get into the message for this blessed Sabbath. Okay. All right. It's titled, Where is God When I Really Need Him? Let's open with an opening prayer for the service. Lord God, O Holy One, we thank you that we may lay aside our own nature and be lifted in spirit above all that is temporal and human and have joy in you, Lord. Despite all the evil surrounding us, Lord, despite the thousandfold misery of humankind, Lord, may we still rejoice in you and all you do and will yet do for us, Lord. Grant that we may go on rejoicing, having joy together, helping instead of burdening each other, until this earth is filled with the jubilation of those you have so rightfully blessed, Lord. Forgive us all our sins, Lord. Heal us in mind and body, Lord. Deliver us from all corruption that tries to take hold of our souls, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. We're going to look at Psalms 139, verses 7 to 12. And here we go. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall be thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. See, God is never far from you. You may be far from him. The places of his presence. Has it ever dawned on you that God never has to go anywhere? God is everywhere. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and earth, says the Lord? The idea that God lives in a church building. That idea alters the way men approach God when they pray. They talk in a normal voice until they pray. I remember being with a pastor in a revival crusade and hearing him pray. His voice changed when he got behind the pulpit. His voice got dramatic and deeper when he stood and said, may we pray. He sounded like he had a steeple in his throat. Oh Lord, we come into thy presence. Where has he been? In Psalm chapter 139, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. See, the word searched, the word means pierced through. God sees right through you. That can be thrilling or threatening. In verse 2, thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. That means even when you are daydreaming, God knows what you are thinking. I like to call it into holy neutral. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Three things you need to understand about God. There is not a movement, but what he sees, is God sees everything that is going on in your life. A pastor got in the attic of a church with a microphone. No one could see him, but he could see the people and began talking to his church. He said, Mrs. Jones, I see you scratching your ear. Mr. Smith, I see you looking at your watch. Okay? There is not a motive, but what he knows it. Look at verse 2. No one else knows what you are thinking, but the Lord does. 3, there is not a murmur, but what he hears it. It has been said that the words you speak in a lifetime would fill enough books for Stock College Library. I didn't say that it would be necessary to be good reading, though. Many things are opened by mistake, but none as frequently as thy mouth. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, then they feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Isn't that beautiful? In verses 5 and 6, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Beset means being besieged, no way to escape. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where could you go to escape from the presence of God? Death cannot hide you from God. In verse 8, if I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. What a comforting thought for a child of God. Just think, close your eyes in the simple world and open them in the presence of Jesus for eternity. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am afforded in heaven a place. Just to be there and to look in his face, oh, that would be glory for me. Distance cannot hide you from God. In verses 9 to 10, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The wings refer to the rays of the sun, and hold means to snatch. When you are finished running from God, he will be there waiting for you, just as he was in the life of Jonah. And thirdly, darkness cannot hide you from God. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. A recent crime statistic stated that 60% of all crimes in America are committed at night in the darkness. But God sees it. But he also sees when you are facing the dark moments of life, the depression, the loneliness, the loss of a job, loss of a family member. He is there for you when you experience the dark times of life. As I said, God is everywhere, and that is thrilling or threatening. Now let's look at the power of his presence. What does his presence mean to you? It is one thing to understand that God is everywhere, but that doesn't always bring comfort. But when you understand that power of his presence is in your life, comfort is turned into confidence. See four things that the power of his presence will do for you. Firstly, when I am discouraged, his presence sees me through. Do you ever get discouraged? When you get discouraged, make a letter change. Change the letter, change the D to an H. You go from discouraged to his courage. Do you ever find darkness of the soul? In verses 11 to 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What is he saying? Even when we are in darkness, it is not darkness to God. You may be about to give up. You may want to throw in the towel. There are people all around you who are going through discouraging times. I don't know what people do who don't know the Lord. I don't know how they make it. Most don't. When you're facing dark times, though, you may not be able to see through the darkness. He can. In Psalms chapter 116, verses 6 to 9, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. See, mankind only has three problems: sin, sorrow, and death. Only the presence of the Lord is the answer to these three problems. In verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, not when you go to heaven, but now. That literally means I will walk in the presence of the Lord. When you are lonely, his presence will cheer you up. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 17 and 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Do you ever get lonely? Loneliness is the greatest tragedy of the age. Death, divorce, division, disease, success, old age. Can you be lonely in a crowd? That's what we need to look around at a church and see those around us. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence in fullness of joy at night. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So take a walk, a drive, a moment to be with Jesus. Psalms chapter 116, verse 1 and 2, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. When I am lonely, he cheers me up. When I'm worried, his presence calms me down. Do you ever get worried? I'm sure you do. In Psalms chapter 139, verses 19 to 22, surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against the wickedly, and thine enemies take the name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, I hate thee. I am not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as mine enemies. David had some people that hated him. There were some people who hated David and did not fear God and wanted to kill him. Hate doesn't mean the emotional hate that we use. It means to choose against. So David was saying, I'm against those that are against God. When God's enemies become my enemies become God's enemies. David was saying, Lord, you're here. Did you ever have anyone when you were growing up pick on you? I used to have someone pick on me. This person would push me, knock me down, chase me home. But one day I had enough and I stood my ground and I told them, you leave me alone. If your dad is with you, you're no longer afraid. Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So when I'm discouraged, his presence sees me through. When I'm lonely, his presence cheers me up. When I'm worried, his presence calms me down. Psalms chapter 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. When I was tempted, his presence helps me out. Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 to 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search means pierce through. Try means reveal, show me. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to do wrong when someone is watching? You will come closer to eating all the banana pudding if you're at home alone. David is saying, Lord, you're not the only one on the outside, but you're on the inside. So you need to realize that wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. Before you do anything or say anything, you have to speak to your heart and ask permission. And now we look at the practice of his presence. How can you make this real in your life? Constantly think about his presence. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. So meditate on the word of God. Carry on a constant conversation with God. Look at David in this chapter. Pray without ceasing and pray about everything. Have you ever heard anyone say, my prayers never get above the ceiling? That's part of your problem. God is underneath the ceiling. You don't have to shoot your prayers to outer space, blast prayer to heaven. You talk with God, not pray at God. So develop a spirit of praise. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So remember, when you're discouraged, his presence will see you through. When you are lonely, his presence will cheer you up. When you are worried, his presence will calm you down. When you are tempted, his presence will help you out. God inhabits the praise of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to experience your power, Lord. We thank you that we need not be occupied with material things only, Lord. We thank you that your spirit comes to our aid again and again, Lord. Grant that we may continue to have your help and let many hearts find what a grace it is in that spirit we may walk in heaven yet, even during this transitionary life with all its foolish ways, Lord. We may say with complete assurance that everything tormenting and burdening will pass by, and pass us by, and we will go joyfully and confidently towards your kingdom, which continually gains in your power, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to go into the invitation. Okay, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a chance to do so in just a moment. Okay? Are you tired of traveling down this long and dusty road and never knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in your life. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something such worse as an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Okay, sexual immorality. Gambling, overeating, whatever it may be. See, the Lord can take it away, but if he don't know you, he can't do anything for you. So, the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once more, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. Well, did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this, okay, by calling in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, the area code is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you said this prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of the Lord, and we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. All right. Okay. Okay, let's take some callers. Okay, first one, 909.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing fine, Beanie. How are you?
Doing all right. Just here, kicking back, listening to you. It's good.
All right. Yeah, I uploaded it. It said I uploaded it successfully. But when I go and look at my list of things to play, it's not there.
Huh. I might have to I think the like megabytes are too big in there. So I might have to do the compression, you know? I might have to compress it. Yeah, so it'll play because it's I believe one of them is 20 megabytes, and the other one is about 34 megabytes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I might have to compress it. But, yeah. So what you doing there, Pastor? Like, are you taking care of yourself?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm staying in and not going nowhere, you know.
Yeah. I trip out on all this, like the police, you know, they like abandoned or not abandoned, but abolish the police and all this. But I believe like all this is done by, you know, by design. And I believe the UN will come in, and the UN will have their own like troops here, because that's what they're trying to do, you know. The president might be able to like stop all that.
Well, that would be nice.
You know.
Yeah. We don't need the UN on our soil.
Exactly. That's crazy. But is there any more callers?
Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, let me
bring them on.
Let me take them. Okay, first caller 111. Okay, here we go. Next call, 111.
No.
Okay. Next caller.
Hey,
oh,
hey.
Gone. All right. We'll try one more.
Hey, Kenny.
Yes.
Kenny, it's Randy.
Yes. Hey, what's up, Randy?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
How are you?
How you doing, Randy?
Good, Beanie. I'm doing well. I just got a bit of a bone to pick with Kenny. I sent you multiple letters to your home.
I never received any.
And you rejected it. Like, you didn't. I mean, at that time, I was just finding. I went to jail, as you know. I sent you enough letters. You should be up to date with everything that took place. And you rejected every single one of my letters.
I never received one.
Well, I received a response, put it that way. One letter, that was it. One letter, and it was short and sweet. And it said, go fuck yourself, is what it said. And that was it. And it came from, I don't know if you wrote it or Farrar wrote it, but that's what it said. And I didn't write it,
neither did Farrar. Okay.
It was pretty heartbreaking, you know, because I needed some spiritual guidance at that time, and I was hoping that maybe you could help me out, and maybe you could try to, you know, help me get out of jail, but that never happened. And I was just wondering what, you know, why would you, at my time of need, let me down?
I don't know. I never received any letters, and I never wrote any letters, okay? Sorry, Randy.
Is there any? Who do you think could have done that?
I have no clue. Okay, because if a letter comes in from me, okay, Tony will put it right there, okay, on the dining room counter, okay, and he says let me know I have a letter.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding. No letters came in.
Well, maybe the mailman. I don't know who your mailman is, but I sent you multiple letters. But anyways, let's get past that. I mean, I forgive you and all your transgressions, and hopefully you forgive me for my past transgressions. How are you doing besides that, you know?
Just taking it easy. Just staying indoors. Okay.
Staying indoors.
So
you, this is really difficult for me to let go. So at what point in time do you think you would have responded to me? Let's pretend that you didn't receive all those letters. Were you ever going to respond?
If I received a letter from you, I would have responded immediately, okay, and asking you what happened, what's going on, do you know anything about your case, that type of deal.
The only person who responded to me, the only person was DC, Don Cornelius. It was probably the only one, besides some other family friends, that responded to me. And I verified your address and everything, and I mean, it was getting there to you, and it just seems like as if you just let me down. I was in there, and I had questions. I know you'd been in jail before, and I was being approached by people, gang members, and some homosexuals and things like that. I just didn't know how to handle myself in there, and it was really hard. It was really hard. And sometimes it was stiff, hard and stiff. It was just, I don't know. It was, guys would give me the old stiff one eye at times, especially in the shower. It was, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. Anyways, hey, Kenny, are there any other callers?
Yes, matter of fact, there is. There's Doug and Jessica, I believe.
Oh. Oh,
can bring on Jessica.
I'd love to say hi.
Yeah,
bring on Jessica.
Okay. Hello, Jessica, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. What's up, fellas? It's great to hear all y'all.
What's up, Jessica?
Beanie Baby, Kenny Baby, and last but not least, Randy Baby. It's great to hear from you. I'm sorry to hear about you being in jail.
Yeah, I was in there for a bit, and as you know now, if you were listening, I was kind of let down by somebody. I'm not going to bring it up anymore, but somebody let me down, didn't write me back, didn't help me with any spiritual support, no financial support, nothing. It was just me by myself in there with a bunch of dudes. And they're wieners.
Yeah, I know, like, if you're, like, an indigent or if you're, that's maybe not, if you're indigenous in jail, what they do is they give you, like, 2 stamps and 2 envelopes and a couple sheets of paper every month. And you must have used that, and that's all you had. You sent those out, and to not receive anything back, that had to be friggin' heartbreaking. I'm sorry for you, Randy. I truly feel for you. My heart goes out to you, bud.
Man, that is crazy. Hey, man, did you see, what's his name in prison, Jason?
Well, no, I didn't get a chance to see him, but actually, I did reach out to Don Cornelius, and somehow Don was able to get a hold of him. And he and Jason was actually sending me letters while I was in jail. He was back in jail.
My dude.
My dude. That's what he would end his letters was like, sincerely, my dude, Jason. And
Well, I'm sorry. I never received a letter from you. If I had received a letter, I would have answered Randy.
I believe you.
Do you think maybe Tony Furtado was intercepting those letters and hiding them or keeping them from you, Kenny?
No, he wouldn't do that.
How would you know, though, if you're locked up in your crate? You know what I mean?
I'm not locked up in any crate.
Well, not right now you're not, obviously, because you're on your show.
Period. I do not get locked up in any crate. No.
He's saying he never goes in a crate, except at night, is what he's saying. So that's not.
No, I never go in a crate. Period.
Willingly. So it's not unwillingly. You willingly go into your crate at night, Tony Furtado.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, he he doesn't want to go into a crate, but he does because, you know, he doesn't want to be assaulted, I guess. Yeah. Is there any other callers, Kenny?
Yeah, Doug.
Oh, but Doug's a douchebag.
Well, we're going to bring him on anyway.
Muted.
No, we'll bring him on. Okay.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Doug. Good to hear from you.
Okay, well, you brought me on, so... yeah, you brought me on. So what do you want me to say?
Well, whatever you like saying.
Kenny, he's attacking you.
No, I'm not.
Don't do that, Doug. Just calm down.
I've been listening to Ken for a couple years, man. I have a good time.
Then why start attacking him?
Well, then why do you have to come on air and attack Ken like that? That's wrong.
Yeah, I didn't ask you nothing, Jesco. I didn't ask you nothing.
Diarrhea
Doug. I'm a pedophile, too. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Why don't you tell me that some more?
He just admitted to being a pedophile,
that?
Kenny.
Remember all the times you told me that?
You have,
man.
You
guys are
Doug.
So dumb.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I'm going to sing for you.
Diarrhea,
Doug. You want me to sing?
Oh, whatever.
Sing, Doug.
Whatever.
Sing.
In your heart, okay?
We want you to sing. Sing, monkey. Go. Sing.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ah, ah, ah. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
There we go.
Yeah, that's
see how we
monkey.
That's how we control.
Right?
That's how we. That's how much control we have over Doug.
Yes,
Doug,
and I'm wearing my mask, too.
Doug,
I have my mask on. I have my
mask on.
Yeah. I'm wearing a mask. And I'm 6 feet away.
Hey, Doug. Doug, what do you think about Ken not writing me back when I was in jail?
You weren't in jail.
You're saying I wasn't in jail? I mean, come on now. That's like saying you have custody of your children.
What? You think that's good if you were in jail?
They closed the home? What happened there?
All right.
Kenny.
What?
Kenneth. Can you go check in?
Kick me off, Ken. This guy's the ultimate troll. Higgins. Sorry, not Higgins.
Can you see if maybe the letters that I wrote you, Kenny, are in Tony Ferrar's sock drawer next to his dildo?
No.
Oh, come on. Ken, you going to take that crap?
I would have received it.
A dildo by the sock drawer.
Don't laugh at Kenny. Don't laugh at Kenny, Doug. Stop now. Seriously.
I'm laughing at you, my man.
There you go. Jesus. I'm sorry, Ken.
Hey,
Doug,
Kenny.
Doug is,
hey, Kenny.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Hey, Kenny. Is it a sin for a Christian woman to use a dildo, or is it okay?
Cool.
That's an interesting question. Okay, that's an interesting question.
Kenny.
It's actually a simple question.
The answer is no.
It's not. It's not the... Okay, so it's accepted.
That's the answer. Boom. Done.
Hey,
Doug,
you sound like
what else you
well
got to say?
You sound like you're pretty well versed.
What else you got to say?
Hey, Doug, would you say using a dildo as a man is a...
What? I didn't hear the end of it. Question.
Okay, can I ask the question again?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
it's up to Ken. It's his show.
No, I'm just asking you, Doug, because I was directing the question towards you, because you seem to be a little more well-versed when it comes to the Bible than Kenny.
Okay.
Is using a dildo while being a man, you know, if you, let's say you're jamming a dildo up another man's asshole, is that a sin?
You set up another man's thing?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Is that a sin?
Is that a sin?
Kenny, maybe you can help him out. I think he's intoxicated.
Maybe he's helping out his prostate, you know what I'm saying? Because your prostate has to be
They will do that for you. They'll massage your prostate, yeah.
Yeah. Kenny, is it a sin, Kenny?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
So are you saying that you live your life in sin?
No, I don't do that.
I mean, I'm not, but 24-hour jam, you know, uses it on you, right? Is that correct?
No.
Oh, you use it on 24-hour?
No.
Okay. I'm confused. Then why did you ask the question if it was a sin or not, Ken?
I didn't, you did.
Hey, Ken. This is Doug, 10-4-hour over.
Uh-oh.
It's Doug Farrar.
Yeah. Don't you see how he's playing you, man? Come on. Yeah, everyone hates me. I know that. I don't give a fuck.
I don't hate you.
All you got to do is hang up on me. If you hang up, I'm done, right? Okay. But, hey, they're playing you, Ken.
I'm being cool. Wow. I'm not being disrespectful to you. You're a cool guy.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, I was hoping these calls were going to be godly. Okay, so far, you know, okay, they really haven't been godly. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's change that and make it more godly then.
He's in jail. Kenny, when I was in jail, I did need that the spiritual some spiritual
in
guidance,
jail.
And I wrote down quite a bit of questions for you. Would you mind if I asked you a few of those questions?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I have one thing.
Yeah. Just know I'm recording it all. Okay. Just want to let you know that.
It's being recorded, dude.
Doesn't matter.
What happened? I missed it. What happened?
You don't dare tell your story.
Oh, okay. You're just interrupting. Anyways, Kenny.
Shut up.
I interrupted by saying, you said what happened.
That would be awesome. If you could just stay quiet a second, that'd be good. Okay, Kenny, my question was,
Proceed, sir.
Ask a question, Doug? Doug, may I ask the question?
Proceed, please? Sir.
If you don't mind, I would like to
proceed,
ask you a question.
Sir.
Just stop talking, please.
Proceed, sir.
Thank you. If you would just
proceed,
stop
sir.
Saying anything,
proceed,
that would, you know,
sir.
Just stop talking, and that would be perfect. Okay, thank you. I shut you up. Anyways, Kenny, how am I supposed to ask the question if he continues to talk over me?
Doug, let him answer the question.
Well, I wasn't going to ask the question. He's talking over me, Ken.
Okay, go ahead and answer. Go ahead, give me the question.
Okay, the question is: while I was in jail, is it a sin to have sex with a transgender?
Is it a sin to have sex with trans?
Doug is making all those crazy noises.
Wait a minute. Can I answer this question, please?
Uh-oh.
Because the answer is, if you are a transgender, yes.
Or is it a sin? Is it a sin to marry a transgender?
Ooh.
Not if you are a transgender.
Hey, Doug, the question was directed to Kenny. If you can shut that drunken mouth of yours, that would be great. Kenneth, please continue. If you don't mind answering, that would be great.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Don't talk over Kenny.
You know, if you're in love with that transgender, then no, it wouldn't be a sin. Okay.
Okay.
Let me change that up.
Let me be a little more specific. Let's say that I'm in the shower and this gentleman's soaping up and whatnot, and you know, we get to talking, and I say, he says he can't reach his back, so I had to soap it up for him. And then I fall in love with his butthole. I mean, I don't care for the gentleman. I don't care for, like, talking to him or anything like that. But I do enjoy penetrating his rectum. Is that a sin?
That's you being a troll and acting like a retard.
I'm talking to Kenny.
Hello, don't ask if you don't want to answer.
That's the answer.
Doug, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
10-4.
Let Kenny answer the question. That's
okay, Jess.
Go take care of your kids, Doug. They need a father. Try being.
I know. Yeah.
I know. Okay, Kenny, can you answer that question, please?
I already answered it. Yes, he answered it too.
That's true.
If a man sexually attracted to transgender, and only to a portion of that,
hey, we heard you the first time.
I'm sorry, Kenny. Can I finish the question, or is Drunken Doug gonna continue on? Kenny, is this your show, Dum Dum? Are you gonna answer, or are you just gonna continue?
Not gonna say any more. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm listening.
Kenny, go ahead.
Sir. Proceed on.
Go ahead.
Kenny, are you wearing your helmet? I asked the question. Would you mind answering the question?
No, I am not.
You're not wearing your helmet. That explains a lot. Okay.
I don't wear a helmet.
So.
Goodbye, Randy. Okay? That's enough of Randy. Okay? For one evening, okay.
Man, you didn't answer Randy's question about the butthole question. Like, if he was attracted to another man's butthole and penetrating it, is that all right?
Yeah, that's a sin. Okay, because you're being lustful.
All right, so, okay, say you're with this person, and you always thought this person was a girl, and you guys get married, and because you guys didn't have no, like, sexual content or, like, anything like that, like, any type of contact, and you guys get married, and on your honeymoon, you find out the person is a dude. Like, what happens?
Well, I mean, you love that person, evidently, okay? Whether you knew she was transgender or not, okay? So it shouldn't change, okay, because the person has a surprise package.
A surprise package. Wouldn't that person be in the because that person tricked the other person into marrying it?
Well, if that happened, well then it would be a sin, okay? Because it was being misleading and lying.
So the next day they'll probably get a separated or divorce or something like that. Next day.
If you don't consummate it.
Are you trying to figure out what you got to do, Beanie?
No, I'm just asking because these things actually happen. Like, real stories. Real stories that actually happen. You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any more callers, Ken?
None has pushed the one key.
Okay.
Well, we have one that pushed the one key. Well, wait, where'd he go? No, he took the one.
Can we bring back Randy? Can we bring back Randy?
No.
Yeah. You mean Randy the doxer? I'll dox y'all. And then I'll act like I never did nothing. Mm-hmm.
Man, it's quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking at something. No, I'm not bringing Randy back on.
I'm going to bring up like a serious question. Because this happened to me, you know what I'm saying? The doctor, he told me that it's okay if you masturbate because it helps your prostate. And so, like, it keeps it healthy. But in the Christian thing, it says that it's a sin to masturbate. So, if it's by a doctor's orders, is that okay?
If a doctor tells you to go ahead and do something, then yes, it is okay. Okay, but just to be doing it, is another thing.
So, like, it'll be okay. Okay? Or
yeah,
you'll be
okay?
Okay.
Dr. Order gave
me
an order
to
masturbate.
Okay.
Oh, no. Keep saying okay. We get it. Okay?
Okay.
Come on, Ken.
All right. Hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all
okay.
Right.
Okay.
The masturbation question.
Hey, Doug, have you ever gotten that masturbation tent?
No. That's because they don't exist, so, you know. Did you get yours?
Nah, I heard Frank got his on wheels.
Yeah, who's Frank?
The janitor.
Brick and mortar guy. Brick and mortar. Brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar. Brick and mortar.
Yeah, huh?
And I think his wife got the blow-up doll.
Yes. You probably did too.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, we're going to do the
prophetic word.
The prophetic word for the day. So,
cool.
Okay, everybody just stand by.
Bow your
okay,
heads.
For the prophetic word, okay? Okay,
amen.
Here we go. Everyone on mute. Okay. The Father says today that love never fails. A step out of love is a step into failure. Why would you ever go that way? Give yourself over to the cry of the hearts of those around you. Refuse to look the other way as though you did not see. Never turn aside from those who are wounded or bleeding in the byways of life. Look at them full on and let your compassion rule the response you show toward them. love them. Love them with depth and sincerity. Love them in practical ways. Love them past their belligerence. Okay, and the false authority of their jaded viewpoints. They have given up hope. They expected nothing to get better. They have a grow worse mentality that not only will not see a way out, but will despise anyone who suggests a path different from that which has brought them to ruin. They are naked in the tombs of their own regret, cutting themselves with shards of past failure. Give them hope, even when they rail against you. Speak deliverance and hope, and you will see them in your right mind, rejoicing in your deliverance. Prospects are better than you think they are. You cannot measure your own prospects by what you see in your own eyes and hear with your own ears. You looked and saw nothing more than closed doors and walls so high you could not climb over. Look again, child of God, look again. You are a son of God. You are a child of the highest. Where I saw a closed door, I stepped through and manifested myself to those cowering beyond. Okay? See the door I have provided where others only see gates and bars. Beyond the false evidence of physicality and the illusions of permanence of the problem is an open field of opportunity, untapped, awaiting the occasion of your faith. You have planned and you have dreamed of one day, someday, but I say to you, today is a day of salvation. Enlargement of your step is yours, but nothing happens until you commit to the point of no return. Burn your bridges on the highway of no regret. Breach your boats and burn them without hesitation. The only option now is going forward, and that encourages that you will obtain your goal and see a much greater outcome than you have ever thought possible, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, okay, I'm going to say a prayer. Okay, we're going to close this down. Okay, for the night. Okay, and we want to say God bless everybody. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. So here's a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, you're in your word. We trust in your word of eternal life given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We build on this word of life in these days when it seems that everything is losing strength and value, and yet there is so much longing in people's hearts. You will not let our hope be disappointed. What you have spoken must be fulfilled. What is promised in Jesus Christ must come into being, not only for a few, but for the whole world for which he died and was raised from the dead. Be with us. Keep us so fully alive that our lives reflect on all the goodness we can experience, and we overcome all evil which tries to attack us. We thank you for calling us to life and renewing us again and again. May your name be praised among us forever. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Well, okay. Well, let's see what we got to do here. All right. Well, good night, everybody. God bless y'all.